it's the Word of God. When you open the Bible, it's the Word of God, and we can pray according to God's will. Amen? It's not like a secret. It's not like a mystery. You know, the Word of God, Paul talked about how the mystery was hidden before the revelation of Jesus Christ, but now that mystery's been made known. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just got another scripture I'm supposed to write down here. Just a minute. Had a hold tight there. Amen. Almost done. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Colossians. We're going to do... You got your running shoes on today? Praise the Lord. I irritate some people, and some people love it. You know, some people just read one for crying out loud. I don't like all this running around. And some people just love it. Some people just, I mean, they're ready to, they got the running shoes on, they got the Bible open, and they want you to just go from place to place to place to place. So praise the Lord. It's good. We're going to do that today. Amen. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. All right. And before I read that, I'm going to read something. You can just write it down if you want to. Because I stuck it in here at the beginning. I didn't remember I did it until just now. It's Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, "Your words were found, and I did eat them. And they were, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." This is the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. "Your words were found, and I did eat them." I guess you could eat the word. "And your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am," the rest of that scripture is, "for I am called by your name." Amen? Yep. "For I am called by your name." It's like Romans 8:28, where it says, "All things are working together for good." Now, quit looking. Quit looking all the time. Everybody's always looking. See, you don't look at what's going on in the world. You look at what God said. You look, he says, in the mirror of this promise. It's like looking into a mirror. You look into your own experience, then you're going to get what you got. You look into this promise, and God begins to work that which is well-pleasing in his sight, which is to bless you. Sometimes you get blessed inside before you get blessed outside. It happens a lot. You get blessed inside before you get blessed outside. Listen, when you plant a seed, how many of you can see it grow? From the get-go. When you plant a seed, where does it start? It starts in the dark. It starts in the ground. It starts under the ground. Right? The seed starts under the ground. It begins to grow under the ground. And then eventually it brings forth a little shoot. Just a little thumb. And you look at that and you go, "Well, that's not much." But he said, if you plant the seed, the word as a seed, like a grain of mustard seed, it grows into one of the greatest trees that we know of. But it starts out as the tiniest of seeds. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is a tiny seed. It's basically something that God delivered to you. Amen? Something that God delivered to you. And he put it on the inside of you, and it will grow as you meditate on that day and night. We're going to read about that. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. All right? Praise the Lord. I got my watch. This is my watch here. And somebody just... Oh, everybody's going to watch me. Okay, well, that's good. Now somebody just called me. I have no idea who it was. All right. I don't even care. All right, come to church. "If you then be risen with Christ," this is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ," or since you're risen with Christ, since you are, "seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." So, since you are, or if you're saying, if it were to be said that you are risen with Christ. That is, you're born again. That is, you've received the promise. So what this says, it begins with the fact that you have already been born of God. You have received His promise. You walked in the door. You paid your ticket. You didn't pay your ticket, but you got the free ticket and you came on in. So you're in. Okay? So you're in. You're already in because you believed. So there is more. This already tells me that there's more than just believing and going to heaven. Since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Well, how would I get that close? Anybody remember in Ephesians where it says, you are seated together with Him in heavenly places. Where is He seated? On the right hand of God. Close by. I mean, you're like right in the room. You're like right in the same room with the Father. Because you know why? It's the Father Himself, Jesus said, who loves you. It's not like you're running away from the Father to Jesus. Well, that big mean Father, He's just too hard on me. He's a big mean Father and He's hard on me. You got to say, listen, there's a reason I say these things. It's because you've got to meditate on this stuff, because you got to change your mind has to be changed. If your mind is not changed, anybody know this? Is that it just in there's all kinds of things in this world that if your mind is not changed, you find yourself running up against a wall. Huh? I mean, you'll find yourself running up. If you don't believe that something is working for you on your behalf, or this thing will work, or this thing will happen, if you don't have that faith, just that natural faith that something's going to get done, you probably just won't even do it. You probably won't even bother. Amen? There's some certain things that you just are pretty confident of. Right? I mean, there's certain things that you're confident of that you're not too bad at. You know, whether it is, maybe it might be messing up. Maybe you're good at messing everything up. Maybe that's it. You know? And you're pretty confident of that. And so your confidence in that is going to kind of bring you to where you're messing up all the time and you believe that's all you can do. Now, you thought I was going to say something where you know, you were good at that would be a benefit, you know. But I got news for you. There's so many people who just all they believe is that they're a mess up and they can't do anything. That's not what God said. That's not what God said, and that's not what He said in His Word. He says, the prophet said, your words were found and I did eat them, and they were the what? The disappointment of my heart. No. He said they were the what? Joy and rejoicing of my heart. Well, that's another promise, is that when you read His Word, it's not to beat me down and kick me while I'm down of my heart. Huh? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Word of God is an encouragement for me. And I'm going to make it an encouragement for me. If there's a one in there that says, well, you didn't do it right, I'll read that through the lens of the New Testament, where Jesus says, He loves me. He's all for me. And He's done it all for me. Amen? See, I believe this is Paul was one of the most well-read guys in the Scripture. And when the Holy Spirit touched him, when the Spirit of God, he was knocked off his donkey there on the way to Damascus to get rid of the Christians because they were messing up the church. Or messing up the Jewish situation, this Jewish religion. They're kind of messing our stuff up. So we want to get rid of these guys. But Paul got knocked off his donkey there, and Jesus came and talked to him for a minute, and he said, Hey, Paul, what are you doing? Well, who are you? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Oh, I didn't even think you were real. I thought you were dead. Well, see, Paul began to find out that Jesus wasn't dead. And in fact, Paul was so filled with the truth, with the Word of God, when the Spirit of God touched that. Anybody got a Bible? Anybody got a New Testament? You know, most of that is what Paul wrote after he got touched by the Holy Spirit. Most of that is the revelation of the promise of God from Genesis to Malachi, the revelation of Jesus that Paul received. It was the mystery hid before the foundation of the world, which is now revealed to you. And now this is word is what is happening is God is revealing His Word and His promise to you. I'm so grateful. I'm glad I'm living now. I'm glad I'm living where the Holy Spirit can dwell, not just a little bit at a time on Moses, a little bit at a time on the prophet, a little bit at a time here, and a little bit of the time there. And the Holy Spirit is now promised to all the children of God. All the children of God, He's made a promise. He said, all my sons and all my daughters, my Spirit will come and my Spirit will remain, and that's what you have. Oh, boy, this is fun stuff, ain't it? I wish we'd get past verse 1, somebody said. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. That's where you are too, because you're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Amen. Say that. Okay, that's good, yes. Set your affection. So, he says, seek those things that are above. See, he gives you all these things right here in this. I mean, it's like a compact little vitamin pill. He gives you these things in these little compact doses that you can just take it. He says, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. That right away tells you to get your eyes off your circumstances. I know that's hard. But what I'm telling you is this. Yeah, maybe keep one eye on your circumstance so you'll be comfortable, you know, because you think it's going to get you. Amen? But bring this other eye over here. You know how to do that, right? Bring that other eye over here and look at God's promise. Look at God's promise. He said, you are seated together with Him. Now, verse 2 says, so He's told you to seek the things that are above. And He said, now set your affection. Change your affection. I just love to think on everything that's going wrong. It just makes me more comfortable to think. How many know you're more comfortable trying to sort it out somehow or another? I'm going to sit down and sort this out. I'm going to sit down and figure this out. Somehow or another, you just feel better about it. I know it's horrible, but you know we're kind of weird anyway. You know, we meditate on everything that's bad. You know, we set our affection on meditating on the worst thing that's happening right now, just so we can, you know, figure out some way. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. So we can somehow figure out some way to figure it, to sort it out. He said, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Not on the things on the earth. So God, basically the bottom line is God's telling you how to think. You need to know how to think. Your thinker is broke. You may have gone to college. That probably helped it break. Amen? If you go to college, that'll break your thinker. Because college is basically doing one thing. It's teaching you how to think like the world. Hello. I mean, you know, this is what you call higher education. Teaching you how to sort things out according to the world. Teach you a little psychology. That'll be good. Yeah. Try to figure out. I mean, you talk about, that's what I liken unto this Aggie thing, right? Where you ever heard how you keep an Aggie busy? Or maybe you like how do you keep, yeah, never mind. Right, turn this over on this blank piece of paper and you write it on both sides. Oh, I got me an Aggie. She's waiting for this one. It says turn this over on both sides. And you just keep going. And that's what psychology does, because somebody will just, you know, they just put that on a piece of paper. In psychology, that's what they do for you, is they teach you psychology, and that's all that is. Is that trying to chase somebody's mind down. People are smarter than that. You know, well, I'm going to help you. Oh, good. It's like chasing Pac-Man. Anybody ever played Pac-Man? You know, you're trying to chase that guy down, you know, in the little Pac-Man game. And that's you. And there's somebody out behind you trying to help you. And you're just chasing or you're just running around. So the devil loves to do that. That's the devil's game. Is, you know, you'll never be able to catch that person because they'll always be thinking of something. They think that's just, you know, their mind. But they're just chasing around, and just the enemy loves that. He just loves that because you can never catch somebody's mind. Amen? You can't catch them. So, that's what the devil loves to do. The enemy loves to do. He loves you to think on this world, get a higher education. I'm not against college education. I'm just saying that for you to depend upon that and for you to believe that that is your salvation and that is your source of life is evil. That's not the truth. The source of life is this word. The source of life is this promise. That's it. There is no other. Because you are of God. You are built and created by God. You are formed in the womb by God. You were not formed in the womb by man. You were formed in the womb by God. You were created by Him. He loves you, and He's changing you into His image as you read His Word. The Word is, like what I said earlier, is from out of this world. You're in this world. The world's from words from out of this world. Jesus Christ came into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh. He came in to the world. He came in from outside. He came in. He entered into time. I'm living in time. He came into time. See, He lived in eternity. I live in time. I was created in something called time. How many know you're probably going to, this body's going to pass away. It's going to die. It's going to go. Right? Amen? Somebody, number one, you know that. I mean, go to the cemetery. You can see everybody who went before you. Right? You see everybody who went before you. So, and you know you're going to go. You don't like to think about it, but you know you're going to go kind of the same way. You know, flesh, dust. You're just going to go the same way. George Washington, he's gone. John Kennedy, he's gone. You know, pick a recent guy. You know, Ronnie Reagan, he's gone. Praise the Lord. Grandma, she's gone. Okay? You know, guess who's going next? You. Praise the Lord. But the thankful thing about it is God talks about that. God talks about the fact that He's separating between this world and eternity. And He wants you to meditate on these things, is that you are of eternity because you're born of God. You are now born of God, therefore you're of eternity. What I like to do is separate you from this world. Even though you're living in this world, I'm going to separate you. I'm going to give you an out. I'm going to give you a way to live, which is knowing that you belong to eternity. You have dual citizenship. And one of them's going to go, you know, one of them's going to go away. Guess which one that is? This one here. It's going to go away. All right? So, you set your affection on where? Things above, not on the things on the earth. You know, my dad's fixing to move in with us from Florida. He's getting close to 80. You know, you just start thinking like, well, we're kind of coming to a wind down. You just, in his mind. You start thinking about stuff. I mean, we got our wall worked out. We got long-term care. We got, you know, life insurance. We're all fixed up for it. We expect it. It's part of living. It's part of living in this planet. Part of living in this earth. We build huge buildings and high-rises so we can leave a memorial to ourselves, right? Or at least leave a little marble one down at the cemetery. I mean, or a little flat one. You know, maybe just leave a little flat one down at the cemetery. You know, you can leave something. You want to leave some kind of memorial around, you know. Remember me? I was here, you know. But what you want to leave is seed that remains. That's a whole other sermon. You want to leave seed that remains. Jesus said, it's my desire that you bring forth fruit and that your fruit remains. Well, fruit remains because of the seed. There's an apple tree 200 years ago that had a seed in it. In the apple, and somebody planted that seed, well, it's the same apple tree. It's kind of like you and your grandma. Grandma's, you know, two or three grandmas ago, well, you're her. You're her seed. You're still remaining. It's God put that in the system. And what He's talking about here is His Word produces a new creation. All right? His Word produces a new creation. Now, again, what I said here is that you're risen with Christ, so seek those things which are above, which is a new creation. There is more to the new creation than just get born again and wait. The new creation actually begins to bear fruit and begins to bless you, your outward man, and your neighbor. That's what the new creation does. All right? So He says here, now verse 3 is very important. For you are dead. You am dead. You be dead now. If you're risen with Christ, you're dead to this world. Say it. I'm dead to this world. I didn't ask you to think about it or believe it. I just said say it. You know, say. You know, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I will say. A lot of times you have to say things. Have you ever noticed you got to say things a lot of times before you even think it could be true? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I don't even believe that. The Lord doesn't appear to be my refuge today. He appears to be far from me. But I'm going to get to His Word. I'm going to get to His promise. The Lord is my refuge. Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Okay, I want to tell you, we're going to go through some scriptures now. Okay, so he says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you were to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Talks about the same idea. I'm crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Go figure that. So I'm crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. You are dead. Or he says, reckon yourselves therefore dead unto sin. Sin seems to just be overwhelming me. Reckon yourself. Get your little book out. This is like an accounting term. And make an entry. Make an entry. Dead to sin. Doesn't look like that, but we're just going to make a journal entry anyway. We'll let God figure that out later. We're going to make a journal entry. This is what we're reporting. Is you're dead to sin. Well, it didn't appear like that. You're dead to sin. The boss said you're dead to sin. Amen. But alive unto God. You're dead to sin, alive to God. Doesn't mean you didn't sin in the outward. What it means is that God's not looking at it. He's not checking it. He's not pulling out and looking at it. What He's looking at is Jesus. And He's looking at you sitting right next to Him. His bride. You're His beloved. You're Jesus' beloved. And He figures Jesus knows how to pick. Amen? All right. Now, He says in here in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That doesn't mean kill your church members. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It's talking about your flesh. And here's what it does. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, idolatry. For which things the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Without Christ, this is where you are. In the which you also, verse 7, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. That was in the past. But now you're risen with Christ. He says, verse 8. Verse 8 is a great one because he says, but now. So you got to read the Bible carefully. A lot of people read the Bible too fast. A lot of people read the Bible in such a way that they want to get through their daily reading so that God will be happy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? God's not interested in you reading the Bible so you can say you got through it in a year. He's not interested in that. What He's interested in is let this Word of God... very first thing I said, your words were found and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Get to the Word. I don't care if you read one verse. Just get to a good one. Get the one that's blessing you. Get the one that says, God loves me. And He's blessing me. And He's taken all the sin out of my category. Everything that I thought was against me is no longer against me. Amen? Everything that I thought was against me is no longer against me from the perspective of me trying to get to God. He loves me absolutely. All right? Now, he says, lie not to... so now you've put off all these things. Verse 8 of chapter 3, Colossians. But now you also put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You've put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. Turn over to Romans. Or write it down. If you don't like flipping fast, just write it down. I'll read it. Okay? So Romans chapter 12. You remember what I just read? He's put on the new man, renewed in knowledge. So putting off the old man is really a matter of putting on the new. You don't really put off the old, you just put on the new. You put off the old by putting on the new. All right? Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, Therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, that's the body that was crucified with Christ. Your heart crucified with Christ. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Listen to verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you'll remember the verse we just read, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. After the image, you are renewed in the image of Christ. You are renewed. The new man is the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? So the image of Christ is being created in you by renewing your mind, by not conforming to this world, all the stuff we talked about, getting higher education and all of that. Again, depending on it for some spiritual means. I mean, it's okay to get your MBA, whatever. You know, do some business. That's fine. God's into doing business. He says, do business till I come. Let's keep doing business. That's fine. God's into doing business. He's into commerce. He's into economy. That's okay. That's what works here. He designed it and set it up. That's what works here. That's how you get a job, basically, and you make money. And that's how you feed your gospel machine. That's how you feed your flesh, feed your body. Amen? That's how you do that. So that's all designed for this world. But he says here now, he says, be not conformed to this world from the heart, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, don't get all bound up in that. That we'll teach on that later. Okay? Just go to the end of the sentence. That you might prove or demonstrate or show forth the will of God. Somebody wants to say, well, what's the acceptable will of God? No, don't worry about that right now. Okay? Because we'll get bogged down there. We don't want to get bogged down there. All right? Because you're growing. You're growing. Seek, when he said, the very first verse we read here, he said, seek those things which are above. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Very good thing to remember. Because what he wants you to do is seek the promise that is going to transform you into demonstrating the will of God. What is His will for you? To be blessed. His will for you is to be blessed in this life and demonstrate the glory of God. Demonstrate the love of God. Demonstrate the peace of God. That's what His desire is for you. That's what He's working in you. You don't know all the details. You don't know how it's going to function. You don't know how it's going to work. You just have faith. Remember Abraham? He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham. Everybody say, by faith, Abraham went forth. See? By faith, Abraham went forth. He did. Just by faith, not by, you know, brains. Amen? He didn't go forth by brains. You know, by faith, Paul went forth from falling off the donkey. Because Jesus just told him, okay, go into the city there, and some guy's going to lay his hands on you. They led him by the hand. He didn't know where he was going. He's blind. He's blind. God just, you know, God will let you be blind for a while. Hallelujah. You know what? It's probably good, some of you, for you to be blind. You know? It's good for you to not know. It was good for Abraham not to know. Abraham was a smart guy. Huh? Are you a smart guy? Smart girl? You know. By golly, I know what to do. Well, apparently, Paul didn't know what to do. And he was a smart boy. He didn't know what to do with what he had. But what God did, He knocked him off his horse. I mean, it's not trying to be mean. It's just trying to get... Okay, stop. You know, you're going the wrong direction and you're not stopping. And so what God wants to do is sometimes he'll let you be stopped, which is good. That's helpful. You need to be stopped. Amen. You need to be slowed down. Anybody ever slow down your kids? Anybody got kids? Anybody slow them down before they run into the street? Whoa! Slow down there, buddy. I mean, you know, Logan probably never would have made it to China if Randy hadn't slowed him down. You know, okay, slow down there, sonny. You know, don't get yourself runned over. I mean, you can get yourself run over all kinds of stupid ways. Thank God that He stops you. Amen? All right, now, Okay, so we read that one there. And keep going. John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Indeed. Really. True. True disciples. So, it's not just about witnessing. Go out and witness. You know, it's part of it. But that's what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Amen? And you may have a bent for that. You may have a real bent for that. I mean, you just can't stop. You can't keep you in the house. It's like Alex. You can't keep him in the house. You know? And so some folks have more of a bent toward going out and just strictly going out and just giving a witness to the next guy. All right? Now, but here he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So what's a disciple is somebody who continues in, Jesus said, my word. You continue in his word. Meditate upon his word. We'll get to that too. All right? Where is it? Where is his word? Romans 10, of course. You know, 9 and 10. Well, we use that for our witnessing scriptures. You know, Romans chapter 10. He says, "What is it? What says it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, which is the word of faith which we preach." There's one of the effects of the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth to righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. What was the first thing he said? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is in your mouth. Where's the word? In your mouth. The word of faith is in you. The word of God, the word of faith, the word to be believed by faith, is in your mouth. How do we find out about that? Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Listen to this. This is Old Testament. He's talking about Joshua, about the time he's going to take over. Moses is dead. If you read Joshua 1:2, God's kind of pretty forthright and pretty straightforward. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Well, shouldn't we have like a funeral? Shouldn't we have like a little memorial service? He just told Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. You get up and go. So verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now I want you to listen to this, because this will help you. But you shall meditate therein day and night. So that you may observe to do. Very interesting thing. If you meditate on something, think about it, roll it over in your mind, keep that in front of you. You meditate on it day and night. You know, you ever notice anything you think on day and night usually is something that you really starts to affect everything you do? You ever notice that? God kind of knows that. So he told you to do this. He said, this book of the law. Now the law, not necessarily everything to do as much as it's everything that God set in place. Everything God set in place. Look at it, something's not going to break. Eyes up front. What's that? Gravity. Is that a law? Silly preacher. Is that a law? That's something God set in place. There's a lot of laws in place. I've been over to Uganda in the equator. You know what's weird about that? The equator, anybody ever been over there? Okay. You've been over there. Yeah. There's a street they got running across the equator. And they've got this little thing. I mean, it's nothing. This is not high tech. This is God tech. On the one side of the road, they got a little funnel thing. And it goes like this. And they pour water. It's like, look, I guess like a little toilet, almost. Do you know toilets run different way, the different direction, north or south of the equator? One runs one way, counterclockwise, and the other one runs clockwise. Thank you. Say that louder. It's the Coriolis effect. You pour the water on the edge of it, and when it goes, you just pour it straight down. You remember this, Lynn? You pour it straight down on the edge, and that thing is going to go, when it hits the funnel, it goes one way. Now, you're just used to it here in our side. But then he went across the street, poured it just straight down on the edge, and it went the other direction. It just goes the other direction. And you go in the middle of the street, and again, you pour it right straight on the edge. Now, in other words, not down the tube, but down on the edge. You know what it does? Just go straight down. Right in the middle. It's weird. It's a law. It's a law. I mean, we're talking about not high tech. I mean, this guy makes money doing this, you know. He makes money selling this stuff. Right there on the... He sells little gods and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's powerful. All I'm telling you is God puts laws in the earth, all right? God's putting laws in the earth. Okay, and so he says that. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Keep it in there. But you shall meditate therein day and night. Day in, day out. Day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, now here's a promise. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think I'll write that and put that on my bathroom wall. I think I'll write that and put that on my living room. I think the girls ought to take their lipstick and write that on the mirror. Right? I mean, I don't know why I think of that. You know, just...
Will has a song to everything you just read.
Yeah, see? Isn't that good? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. This is God's command to you, is to meditate in His law day and night, so that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He didn't tell you to think about it. He didn't tell you to think about this, what he just said. He said, do it. Now again, the joy of the Lord is for you to do what He said. If you keep my word, then you are my disciples indeed. It's kind of like when you tell your kids to do something that will bless them, then guess what? They do it and they get blessed. If you tell your kids, don't do this because what will happen is nothing you like will happen. Everything you don't like will happen. That's what God's into. God is into telling you exactly how the world works that He provided for you so that when you follow His word, that things work. Now listen to me. You may not think things are working because you're looking and it don't appear that things are working. I want to tell you something. It's things work from the inside out. You know, when things don't work, I got a lot of things that don't work, doesn't appear to work, okay? I got a lot of things that don't appear to work. You know what? I don't meditate on those. I don't think on those. I think on these things. Because I believe this is God is bigger, His love is bigger, His promise is bigger than everything that I see going wrong. And so you may think I'm crazy, but at least I'm having a good time. Amen? You may think I'm nuts, but I'm having a good time. I know I've got a good God who loves me, and everything is going my way. Shut up. Idiot's not. I'm looking at you. I've been watching you. Everything is not going your way. You're an idiot. Fine, but I'm a happy idiot. I'm a peaceful idiot. Ask my wife. You know? Don't worry about that. Well, you got somebody better. We do this and you do that. God is making my way prosperous. I love it. I'm having a good time, Sam. You know what? And everybody here can have the same good time. Amir can have the same good time. He's having a good time just like me. Because he knows that God loves Amir. Jesus loves you. And he's working everything for your blessing. Amen? That's true. It's all true. It's all true. Look here. Okay, that was Joshua 1:8. And then verse 9 there, Joshua 1:9, he says, "Have I not commanded you?" Just did. "Be strong and of a good courage." So he tells you, even though if you don't believe verse 8, believe it anyway. Okay? He told you on verse 8, this book of the law, don't depart, meditate day and night, and I'll make you prosperous and good success. And if you don't believe that, believe verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So God is in, He loves you. He's interested in encouraging you. And this is the verse. This is the Old Testament. This is as they lost their biggest leader. This is after they lost Moses. Moses, he's the guy that led them through the desert. 40 years. He's dead. What are we going to do now? Did you ever lose anything that was like something you depended on? God said, "Depend on me." He said, "Depend on me." Whatever you thought you lost, you didn't lose anything. Remember what we talked about, people dying? Maybe you lost grandma, grandpa, dad, mom. You know, a lot of people, their mom and their dad and their grandpa and their grandma was their reason for, they did everything grandma and grandpa said. They did everything mom said. They did everything dad said. Now they're lost because mom and dad died. You depended on man. God wants your dependence off of man. God wants your dependence off of that. You don't. God is not interested in you worshiping, listen, worshiping the memory of your dear departed. He's interested in you hearing His Word, because when Moses died, it just came and told Joshua, "Moses is dead, come on. Let's keep going. I got more to show you. We got more to do. I'm not done. You're next." Anybody say the baton races? Anybody say the Olympics and the baton races? That guy's done. It's time for the next guy. That race doesn't end until Jesus shows up. Just hand off the baton and keep going. Psalm 119. Y'all know I've always preached to you on that. Verse 97. If you're writing these down, you can do it. Psalm 119:97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day." I'm changing your mind. Okay? I'm changing your mind about what you're thinking about. I'm turning the Titanic. Say, "I'm the Titanic." Don't be like my daughter who says, "Okay, you're the Titanic." We're turning the Titanic. How many know you're like turning the Titanic? You're heading straight for the iceberg. We're turning, oh dear God, we're turning the Titanic. We're going to turn you. You're a heck of a thing to turn. Huh? Say it. I'm a heck of a thing to turn. I'm telling you, you are. God don't mind. He'll jump on board your ship and turn you. But you're a big one. You little thing. You're a big one. Your word, Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 again, verse 113. There's several of these from that psalm. "I hate vain thoughts. Your law do I love." How about that one? What does that give you, a distinction between His Word and your thoughts? Psalm 119, verse 113. Psalm 119, verse 113. And you could almost say, "I hate my thoughts, but I like yours." I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. See, you're talking to yourself. You should read Psalm 119 more often. It's broken up into little 8-verse bits. You'll like it. It teaches you the value of the Word. It's a different psalm than most others. Verse 114, next verse here. You are my hiding place and shield. I hope in your Word. So if you need a hiding place and a shield, you're putting your faith. Hope is you're putting your that's your expectation in His Word. What He promised, He is able to what? Perform. Abraham believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform, even though his own body was now dead with respect to having kids. Verse 129, Psalm 119 again. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. What you say is what you're saying to God. The thing, what you say is what I listen to. What you say is what I listen to. Your testimonies are wonderful. Your testimonies. So the testimonies of this world are no good. The testimony of this world is no good. The testimony of this world is a rehearsal of failure. So his testimonies are a rehearsal of victory. Therefore, does my soul, that is your mind, your will, your emotions, keeps God's testimonies and throws out your disappointments. So I throw out, here I had a disappointment, I throw that one out. I'm going to trust God's promise. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I'm moving you, I'm changing you, I'm moving your, you're turning your Titanic off of the iceberg. And then finally, verse 11, we're back up to the front of it. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my... Well, I've got a problem with sin. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God changes you. You become not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember Romans 12, 2. Is it? No way. There's no way to be time. Okay. All right. Just a couple more here. All right. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, he fathered us with the word of God. Oh, excuse me, with the word of truth. Sorry. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is James. And if you read a little further, on verse 21, keep going. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like this. He is like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself and he goes off on his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word, and continues in it, remember Jesus, what he said? If you are my disciples indeed, if you continue in my Word. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, in the Word of God, continues to meditate therein day and night, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what happens? Again, you meditate upon the Word day and night, and you begin to look like the Word. You begin to look like the promise. Now, when I say meditate upon the Word, not only am I talking about the Word of God just as the Scripture, I'm talking about the face of Jesus. I'm talking about having unhurried, having time in the presence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about, okay, you need you need to get alone and be quiet and give. You may be the best quiet place in your, maybe you driving along. That may be the only quietest time you get, is you driving along to South Texas. Maybe the quietest time you get. We live in a world that is just, it's inundated with everything that that can distract you and get your attention. He said his desire is for you to meditate therein day and night upon him. He loves you. Say it, he loves me. My Father loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Boy, you can read the Bible. You can sing a song. Somebody ought to write a song. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He says, yes, Jesus loves me. Three times. I guess it's once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus loves me. I hope Jesus loves me. Maybe Jesus loves... No. He says it, yes, three times, doesn't he? Good song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Don't go anywhere else. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Then say it. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 10:30, that's just awful. Luke chapter 8, write these down. 11 to 21. Talks about the Word of God as a seed. Luke 8, 11 through 21. Luke 8, 11 through 21. Luke 11, 27 and 28. Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Meditate therein day and night. John 8:32. You shall know. You shall. Say shall. You shall know the truth. And the truth will. There's a shall and a will. Anybody know English? There's a shall and a will. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Amen? Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you wrote all that down. You know what? God wrote it all down. It's in here. It's in here. Amen? Well, I hope you're blessed. Anybody get blessed today? Besides me? I'm having a good time. I know you're having a good time. Hallelujah. Tell somebody else about this joint. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't even have a cross on the top. People can't even be afraid. Well, what are they going to do to me if I go there? You know? All right, let's pray. Father, we just magnify you. We love you. We praise you. I love you with all my heart. Say, Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you that your word is truth. And you have made us a kind of first fruits of your creatures. You were born again. Born of the Word, born of the promise that you provided through Jesus. Father, we want to look at Jesus. We want to meditate upon Him. We want to love Him and walk with Him. He loves me. And no matter what is happening during my day or during my week, you are working all things for my blessing. All things are working together for good to me. Because I love God, and I am called according to His purpose. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for all of these gifts. And, Father, we thank you we'll encourage somebody else with the same thing. I'll encourage myself with the same thing this afternoon. I do not want to be a forgetful hearer and just go back to my vomit. Go back to my old thinking, which is just destroying me. I thank you for your word, which is bringing to pass your promise and my joy, your joy in me. Your words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, because I am called by your name, O Lord Most High. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.